Welcome to the PDPW podcast, brought to you by Professional Dairy Producers, dairy's professional development organization.
Well, good talking with you and all of our listeners who are generously taking some time to listen to this podcast. My name is Tom Thibodeau, Distinguished Professor of Servant Leadership at Viterbo University in La Crosse, Wisconsin. This morning, I'd like to talk about good news. You know, I'm a gossip. My gossip comes from two Anglo-Saxon words, God and sibling. Gossip, if you speak well about our brothers and sisters, we build the community up. If we speak poorly, we tear the community down. Gossip. So I am a gossip. I like to tell good news about other people. I like to remind other people how good we are. I think it's important to confront each other with our goodness, with our possibility and promise, and of course to nurture hope. Fred Rogers, the great television innovator, man who cared deeply about children, showed that deeply compassion for young children, wrote this: "When I was a boy, I would see scary things in the news, and my mother would say to me, 'Look for the helpers. You'll always find people who are helping.' In the wake of 9/11, that terrible destructive day, people asked Fred Rogers words of comfort that we might tell our children on that fateful day, and he said, 'Look for the helpers. You will always find people who are helping.' And we do. So today I'd like to talk about works that come from Angus Hervey, who wrote a marvelous article on the good news you might have missed. And Angus writes this: "The world feels scary right now. The planet heats, the clock ticks, the red lines climb, death stalks the fields of Ukraine, the streets of Gaza, famine looms in Sudan, and in the Middle East, the drums of war sound louder by the day, habitats shrink, democracy's flame sputters, authoritarian intolerance rear their ugly head. Millions flee disaster and persecution, the debt mounts, international cooperation falters. Everywhere we look, we are told of the reports of decline. Are we headed for a disaster? Well, it probably depends upon where you get your news. What do you listen to? Why not pay attention to the good that's also taking place? Last year, extreme poverty declined to its lowest level in human history, an estimated 8.4%. Deforestation across the entire Amazon basin declined by 55%, and violent crime in the United States declined to its lowest level since the 1960s. In the last 12 months, a record number of countries have eliminated disease, including for the first time ever hepatitis C by Egypt and black fever by Bangladesh. And global AIDS deaths have declined to their lowest level since the 1990s, down more than two-thirds since their peak. Many of us, when we were in high school and college, can remember that it was the world's deadliest infectious disease, and now we have the power to end it. So maybe you've been feeling despair over the climate change, over the fear of fascism like Dracula rising from the coffin, of resource overshoots and political decay, but last year carbon emissions in our advanced economies declined back to the same level as 50 years ago. Cancer deaths in America and Europe have declined again, and air pollution is now falling in 21 of the world's 25 biggest cities. Alongside those declines, other things have been on the rise. There are 50 million more girls in school today than there were just a decade ago. And last year, 418 million of the world's children got fed at school. That's almost 1 in 5. This year, it's going to be even more. And at least 10 countries in the last 12 months have passed laws expanding the rights for women. In 2023, we installed so much wind and solar that it changed the trajectory of our climate's future, with China's carbon emissions now predicted to start falling as early as this year. In 2024, we're going to install enough global solar manufacturing capacity to reach our net zero targets by the end of this decade. A car powered by electrons was the world's best-selling vehicle last year, and batteries are now the fastest growing technology since human beings made aircraft in World War II. We have crossed the threshold. There is so much momentum, nothing is going to stop the transition to clean energy from happening. We are not doomed. Do you know that 2023 was arguably the greatest year ever for conservation? We protected large tracts of land in Alaska, the Amazon, southern Africa, and the entire Tibetan Plateau, which is an area larger than all of Western Europe. We created new marine protected areas off the coasts of Mexico, Chile, Panama, Dominican Republic, South Georgia, and Spain. Cities are being regreened, farmland rewilded, rivers being cleaned up, and islands being restored. And the populations of every single one of the species in these protected areas is now on the rise. Look, I know there's a lot of stuff going wrong. You know that a lot of stuff is going wrong. That's not some weird attempt to cancel or balance out the bad news. But here's an idea. If we want more people to devote themselves to the task of making progress, then maybe we should be telling more people that it's possible to make progress. If you're halfway up the mountain, you just don't stare at the top and say, oh, gosh, it looks so steep. You look back and remind yourselves how far you've already come. And in the last 12 months, despite all the challenges, we've climbed a little further. So don't bet against humanity. In Nevada, they're using geothermal techniques to tap on the clean energy of our planet. On the border of Belgium and France, they're using bacteria to break down plastic. In Shenzhen, they're delivering blood via drones. And in space, new satellites mean polluters no longer have anywhere to hide. We are launching 5,000-ton starships. We are making 7 billion kilometer round trips to collect stardust from asteroids. And think about what's happening in terms of biomedics. In the last year, we started using CRISPR genetic engineering to treat diseases like beta thalassemia and sickle cell disease, and we have created the largest ever atlas of human brain cells. We are just beginning to use artificial intelligence to decipher the contents of a charred remains of a 2,000-year-old Herculean scroll. And I don't know, but maybe this is boring to some of you, but to me, it's indistinguishable from magic. Our scientific instruments are sensitive enough now to see plants speaking to each other, how trees communicate, and to detect the gravitational waves from the collisions of supermassive black holes. And all of a sudden, we know that we are humming in tune with the entire universe and that each of us contains the signature of everything that has ever been. Progress is possible. Not all declines spell destruction. Not all rising levels result in loss. And sometimes there are really new things under the sun. There are all kinds of stories of brave and brilliant people that deserve our attention. And I would point out, all we have to do is look around ourselves. Look in your own community. Focus on people who are doing heroic work every day, in long-term care facilities taking care of our elders, in emergency rooms doctors saving lives, in food pantries making sure that members of our community are fed, in homeless shelters making sure people have a place to stay, Meals on Wheels that deliver food and friendship to our elders who live by themselves. Look at volunteer firefighters and police officers and EMT. Look at the linesmen who are out restoring power to millions after tornadoes and earthquakes have ravaged our infrastructure. How about farmers, the original 24/7, 365-day-a-year business that continues to feed the world despite drought, forest fires, floods, and cicada invasions? Holy smokes, look at all the people that are working on our behalf this day to make sure that the country works. Anne Murray in the 1980s had a little song, sure could use a little good news today. Well, we all could use a little good news, and it's surrounding us each and every day if we pay attention. Pay attention not to the headlines. Pay attention not to the things that are most shocking. Pay attention to your neighbors and your friends and your family members. Pay attention to all those people who are working for our common good. On Saturday night, my wife and I watched the movie Sandlot. Many of you have seen it, and those of you who haven't, it's a treat. It's a story of boys gathered around a sandlot playing baseball in the late 1950s and early 1960s. They couldn't wait to get out to play. And like all of us who played ball at that time, the biggest challenge that we face is what happens if somebody hit a home run, if somebody hit the ball over the fence into a neighbor's yard that couldn't be retrieved, or into the river in Wisconsin Rapids where we played each and every day. And it was so much fun to see these boys growing up, 12, 13, 14 years of age, trying to discover who they were by playing with each other. And it reminded me of growing up in Wisconsin Rapids, a small town in central Wisconsin, a magical, mystical place. I remember our backyard was always filled with children. My mother would come out each and every day with a loaf of bread and peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and bologna sandwiches. And then we'd have Kool-Aid Red Dye number 5, which explains a great deal about our generation. My mother was there making sure that every child in the neighborhood was well fed and looked after. Back in those days, each of us had a nickname, and one of my friends was named Buster Hankey. I love Buster. Buster was the best shortstop you ever could have known. Buster came in our backyard one day, his glove on the handlebars, and, "Hi, Mrs. Thibodeau." My mom says, "Buster, you need a haircut." "I know, Mrs. Thibodeau. My mom hasn't been able to take me to the barber." "Sit down," she said, and she cut his hair and sent him home. Mrs. Hankey later called that day and said, "Thank you, Janine. I didn't have time to give Buster a haircut." And my mom said, "I'm a beautician. I love cutting hair." Isn't that what we do? We take the gifts that we have, we share them with the guests in our lives, and our lives are made better. Talking about goodness and people that change the lives of other people, Father's Day. And each of us can remember our fathers. Not all of my fathers, they were not perfect men, but they were good men. Men who oftentimes, in my case, fought in World War II and then came back and had to help rebuild the country. Had to start their careers from scratch after having spent the early, last part of their teens and early 20s in World War II. But they came and they rebuilt our nation. They built schools for their children. They created hospitals for their parents. They created an infrastructure that we still enjoy today. There's not just being a gossip about what other people write. I want to share with you one thing that I wrote. Summer vacation was always in August when I was growing up. There were those trips north to Kelly Lake and later to Rylander. There were the vacations when it seemed to rain every day and we'd be cabin bound. And a trip to town to the grocery store was a welcome diversion. There were the vacations in which we learned to fish and water ski. There was the year when the boat would only go in reverse. There was a year when my brother's Little League team made it to the state championship in Ashwaubenon, and we laughed and we cheered when they were beaten extra innings. There were the summer vacations when we went to Milwaukee and watched a home game and County Stadium, forming our own Henry Aaron fan club in right field. There were the summer vacations when Dad would coach high school football, and we watched with pride as he walked around in shorts and football spikes, teaching in a very loud voice. Locker rooms with used tape, analgesic, and bleach-resistant mold still transport me back to childhood. We went on a trip one summer to New York to visit my great uncle who lived on Hastings on the Hudson. Uncle Ernest was a millionaire, but we never mentioned money. He was an inventor and an investor. He invented a shower in his house that had 7 spouts of shooting water. I showered every day at his house without being told. From that treasure house of summer vacation memories, there's one hour that stands out. I was 12 and my brother would soon be 11. My father was given the use of a friend's cabin for a week on a northern lake. The cabin had a rowboat which our dad showed us how to use and gave us permission to use by ourselves. It was one of the first times in my life I felt that I was growing up. A father's trust and confidence can change a son's life forever. On Thursday of our week-long vacation, my brother Mark and I took the small rowboat out into the middle lake to fish. We were novices with boats and fishing poles and were so immersed in the experience that we were oblivious to storm clouds that blanketed the lake, and then the wind began to blow and the water began to pound at our small boat. We were scared. We were in the middle of an unfamiliar lake and an unfamiliar boat, and it was beginning to storm. Our father had taught us how to row together. We sat next to each other and began to row. We pulled on our oars. We pulled hard, but we weren't exactly sure which was our shore. We both wanted to cry. We were desperate. The storm was increasing in intensity, and our efforts seemed so futile. Being able to see so little, not knowing what to do next, panic was about to grip us when we heard that voice that was so familiar and strong. It was clear. It was comforting. It was Dad. Standing on a rock on the bank of the lake, he was calling out to us, "Don't worry, boys, I'm here. Sit close to each other. Don't turn around. Just follow my voice." We gripped our oars and pulled. Attaboy, attaboy, pull, pull, pull together. The wind was picking up. The rain was coming in sheets. But the intensity of the storm was no match for our father's love and determination. Pull, pull, attaboy, attaboy, you're doing it. Work together. Pull, pull, you're going to be fine. As his voice became nearer, we became stronger. Pull, pull, pull together. Attaboy, you're almost home. And now he had the boat in his left hand and Mark in his right. And when Mark was on the dock, he grabbed me by the arm and I was on the dock by his side. The three of us tied up the boat. The storm was in full rage. Our fathers held us tight. Attaboy. I knew you could do it. You worked together. We ran for our cabin, soaking wet, about a quarter of a mile away. 57 years, I still find myself out in a small boat when storms come up. And I listen to the familiar voice of my father who is now in heaven. Pull, pull, pull together, attaboy. I know you can do it. You're almost home. This is my definition of faith, listening for the Father's voice, trusting it'll be all right. Pull, pull, pull together. Attaboy, you're almost home. Look for the helpers. We are not in despair. Good is taking place everywhere where people are pulling together for our common good, making our lives possible. Let's join in. Let's celebrate and honor our Father's legacy by providing for the next generation that same level of determination and commitment that our fathers have done for us. Good work, hard work, noble work is our work to be done. Thank you for listening so carefully. Look forward to talking to you again next week.
Our thanks to Tom Thibodeau for today's message. Tom, a distinguished professor of servant leadership at Viterbo University. And for archived podcasts and more on-demand programs, and for more on the professional development for today's dairy producer, head to PDP's free website at pdpw.org. Until next time, have a safe and productive week.